This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. McCollum Hall is a two-story building on the corner of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Cranford Avenue on the eastern side of downtown Fort Myers, just past the railroad tracks on the western edge of the Dunbar community. Built in 1938, McCollum Hall was a crown jewel for commerce and entertainment and served as a cultural landmark. Over the decades, the ground floor housed all kinds of businesses. The top floor featured a dance hall that in its time featured the likes of Louis Armstrong, B.B. King, Ella Fitzgerald, Count Basie, among many others. McCollum Hall was a stop on what was called the Chitlin Circuit during the segregation era. The city of Fort Myers designated McCollum Hall as a historic landmark, local landmark, in 1998, and it was officially added to the National Register of Historic Places in 2022. Over the years, there have been a number of stops and starts and efforts and plans to bring it back to life in some form. The city's Community Redevelopment Agency took over the property in 2008 and repaired the roof and shored up the structure. The building's facade got a facelift in 2016 with the help of a state historic preservation grant. Now the CRA has approved a new conceptual design proposal from Fort Myers architects Parker Mudgett Smith for the restoration and adaptive reuse of McCollum Hall, which includes a restaurant, performing space, retail space, and business center. And the CRA has purchased the adjoining property, so it will have a larger footprint. Joining me to catch us up and find out what the new proposal entails and what it's going to take to bring it to life is Michelle Hilton Terry. She's executive director of the Fort Myers CRA. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Okay, so I have been at Fort Myers for about 36 years. I came here via New York. I'm originally from Jamaica, and when I moved here with my three children in 1990, we loved it and decided to stay, raise the kids here. In 2003, I started working for the city of Fort Myers in the planning department, actually. Stayed there for 2 years, then I moved over to the redevelopment agency. I started over there as the office manager. It was a long time ago.
I saw an interview where you said you've pretty much held almost every role at the CRA over your years there.
I have, and I've sat in almost every office, I think, for except one.
Can you tell us what the CRA is and does?
The Community Redevelopment Agency is an arm of the city. We were created by the city to go into those underserved, underdeveloped areas of the city and do some targeted reinvestment. We receive increment funds from the growth in the property taxes, and we get to reinvest those dollars, whether it be doing some public infrastructure like a park. We've done several parks. Common Ground Pocket Park downtown is one of them. We also use those funds to support affordable housing. We've supported St. Matthew Claver on Michigan Avenue in Dunbar. And so we are tasked with reinvesting in those areas that I say need a little extra love.
I did a show last week with folks from the Black History Society about the Juneteenth celebrations, and we talked a lot about Veronica Shoemaker. She was instrumental in getting the CRA off the ground, right?
Yes, she was. She had the vision. She brought that back to Fort Myers. She had gone to D.C., I believe, and saw how the redevelopment agency was making a difference in other places and wanted it here for us in Fort Myers.
You're also president of the Florida Redevelopment Association?
I am this year.
And a future maker?
And a future maker, yes. You've done your homework.
I have, and I always like to. I know Tessa Lesage will hear me say that and think she'll be happy I said that.
Yes, I'm a future maker.
So as I told you before we started, that I grew up in Fort Myers, and so I've driven past the McCollum Hall building like a million times. And I know that over the years there's been some stops and starts and efforts to get it refurbished and put back into use.
Yes.
Can we kind of just go through that a little bit? I don't want to – I know there's a lot of weeds we can get into. But you were saying that so it stopped being a performance hall in the early 70s, but there were still businesses in it at least until the early 90s?
Yes. When I came here in 1990, that venue was still open. I remember going into Styland's men's shop, and I also remember going into the pool hall. And so McCollum Hall was owned by the family, and in 2007, we started talking about purchasing it from them so that we can restore it and bring it back to the community. And we worked with the family, negotiated that. The CRA at the time really didn't have the resources to redevelop McCollum Hall ourselves. So we sought to find a developer who could do that. And we've done that three times, unsuccessfully. And all those developers had very good intentions and had great ideas for McCollum Hall. But the truth of the matter is, it is a community-driven space that is not going to generate the kind of revenue that a developer needs to make to be successful. So I believe when the CRA took it back last year and said that we would become the developer was the best thing that could have ever happened to the facility.
So that's the plan now. The CRA is the developer.
We are the developer, yes.
I know that through your work, the roof is now sound, the windows are now sound.
Yes.
Like I mentioned in the intro, it's had a facelift, so it looks pretty nice on the outside. The most recent until this one, hope for a redevelopment included a lot of residential.
Correct.
That is not the case now, right?
That is not the case. So last year when we took it back, we felt it really important to go out to the community and find out from them really what they wanted to see there. Because what was being proposed in the past was what a developer thought would make the best sense for them. And so the community said they wanted a restaurant, they wanted a performing arts space. Along with that, we are including a recording studio.
I was going to say, there's a recording studio on those schematics
studio.
You sent out. I don't
yes.
know if the schematics are what they're called, but whatever.
Well, that's correct. And they wanted commercial. And so we will be redeveloping the historic portion of the building with a restaurant, the performing space, the recording studio, a community room that could be used for a variety of things like a green room and practice multi-purpose space virtually. And you mentioned the land we purchased on the far east side of the property. There we will be constructing a brand new two-story building that will house commercial retail on the bottom and offices on the second floor.
What kind of engagement did you get when you had, I know you had some meetings to try to get, you know, feedback from the community. Were those well intended? Was it well engaged?
It was very well engaged. People really are interested in this project, and not just people in Dunbar. We saw responses from people all over the region, quite frankly. I believe 25% of the responses came from Dunbar and the rest of it came from outside of that immediate area.
Does its historic designation in some ways determine what can be done with the original structure?
It doesn't really determine what can be done there. However, it does make it more expensive to do anything there. It is not a regular restoration. You can't just go to Home Depot and buy things off the shelf. When we did the stabilization back in 2016, all those windows and doors were handcrafted. Those are not standard doors and windows. And so any restoration that we're going to do to the rest of the original structure will have to be done to that same standard.
Will the performance space have a balcony?
The performing space will have a balcony.
It looked like it. So
yes.
It's going to take up the height of two stories on that right side of the main building.
That's correct.
This is Gulf Coast Life. My guest today is Michelle Hilton Terry. She's Executive Director of the Fort Myers Community Redevelopment Agency, or CRA. The CRA recently approved a conceptual design proposal for the restoration and adaptive reuse of McCollum Hall in downtown Fort Myers. The historic 1938 building has sat empty for quite some time. After once serving as a cultural and entertainment landmark in the Dunbar community, this new proposal would bring it back to life with a restaurant, performing space, business center, retail space, even calls for a recording studio, as Michelle was just saying. So what happens now? There's a thing that people can look at. What is the process going forward?
Okay.
What are the things that you're sure of and what are the things that you hope for?
Okay, so right now the concept has been approved. And so the architect, Jeff Mudgett, will now start working on actual renderings of what the interior spaces will look like. We have to take that forward to the Historic Preservation Commission. We need their approval to do anything there as well because it's on the National Register and it's on our local historic designation. It does go to Tallahassee also for their approval. And so once all the approvals are in place, construction can begin. But of course, you know, all that costs money. So we will be seeking funding. We will be going after new market tax credits. The CRA is able to carry some debt. We will be partnering with the city of Fort Myers, and we will be accepting donations. In fact, the CRA is also looking to create a foundation so that we will be able to receive donation dollars to help.
I was wondering if there would be some sort of a nonprofit foundation involved so people can donate and that kind of thing. Is there an existing pot of money that is intended for this, or is there not?
So there is some monies in the budget this year, but it's nothing compared to what it's going to take. We have about $500,000 this year. That's just to get us started. Like I said, we're going to have to take out some debt. We're going to have to get some monies from the city. We're going to have to get new market tax credits. And all these things are happening at the same time, because really the plan is to get this construction going by this time next year.
As you know, construction materials cost more now than they did 5 years ago. So I think that's part of why the clock is ticking, too.
Quickly, yes. And not only do they cost more, they always cost more when you're doing a historic restoration.
I know that over the years, part of the problem has been, or maybe a thorn in the side of the project, has been parking. Has the parking issue been figured out with this new plan?
So we, as you mentioned before, purchased that additional land.
I was wondering if that was going to help make that all better.
That's going to help with parking a great deal. We also have water management that we have to deal with, some detention. And so we will also be purchasing, it's out for advertisement now, the property at the corner of Cranford and MLK, just across from McCollum Hall. And that may be used for detention. It may be used for parking. We're going to have to see how it goes. I think right now, the way Jeff has it designed, we're short 14 parking spaces, according to the code.
Gotcha. and it's right there, like, you know, practically catty corner from IMAG.
Yes.
And that whole, like, you were just watching the city council meeting, the whole Midtown thing. I mean, this will really poke that redevelopment further down MLK, right?
Exactly. And, you know, in 2006, when the redevelopment plan was done, the community said they wanted this. And we believed that this project would be the catalyst for that growth along MLK. And we've seen the growth starting to happen. It started from the I-75 area, and now we'll be able to go east with it, with McCollum Hall.
And, you know, as somebody who grew up here, you know, MLK is a really good-looking road compared to what it was 20 years ago. Is that all CRA-driven stuff?
That is correct. About 3 years ago, we improved the landscape, and I think it's due for a refresher this year as well. So, yes, all those dollars that I talked about get reinvested in the community.
What else is the CRA working on right now?
Well,
I feel like I just got an email right before I walked in here about two new grant matching grants. You might even know about it yet. Melinda sent out a new press release.
Approved today. Yes, because we do have a matching grant program, and we provide funds to businesses that are in the redevelopment areas when they're doing exterior improvement that benefits the public. That's landscape, that's windows and doors, that's also storm-rated materials to keep those properties protected when we have inclement weather. We have a residential property improvement matching grant as well for homes within our redevelopment areas. And so the CRA, in many forms and fashions, gets that money back in the community, all to improve the quality of life for our citizens and, of course, increase the tax base.
Did you guys have a hand in, I'm assuming you did, the relatively new public art piece there on the corner of MLK and where Veronica Shoemaker splits? Tell us about that. You're nodding your head.
Yes. We worked on that for 4 years. It takes a little longer when you're working with the government to get things done. And that's for a good reason. We have to be transparent, and we want involvement from a lot of people, the community, the folks that are wanting to go for these, the artists for these jobs. And so we went through the Public Art Committee, and they did a number of meetings for about a year and a half. We heard public feedback. Then that went out to a call for artists, and the name of the artist escapes me, but she did a beautiful job. Cecilia Louisa from the Tampa area designed that sculpture in honor not just of Veronica Shoemaker, but of all the women in this community that have really pushed the community forward.
Like Dr. Knight. Dr. Ann Knight, yeah.
Yes, Melvin Morgan. Yes, we have great role models in the city of Fort Myers.
On the other side, in the core of downtown, it's all very pretty now. There's the bricks and all that. Is that all CRA involved too?
That's all CRA as well. When the city did the underground utility replacement, the CRA was able to do the above ground work. And so we invested about $10 million in the brick streets and the street furniture and the lighting that you see, the irrigation. Yes, the CRA works hand in hand with the city. As I mentioned before, we were created by the city for the city.
You probably recognize the name Andres Duany then.
Oh, yes, the Duany plan.
The first time we ever did this show live on location was from a restaurant in downtown Fort Myers, and he was one of our guests.
Oh, wow.
At the beginning, when that plan was like this plan for McCollum Hall that we're talking about now.
Yes, yes. Yes, and we have worked with that Duany plan all these years. A lot of it has been accomplished already. As a redevelopment area, we have to update the plans every 5 years. We never lose the input that came from the original plans, but we do make sure that we are meeting the current needs of the community.
So besides McCollum Hall, and we will wrap up with it here in a second, you know, it's obviously sort of, you know, the big mountain that you're hoping to climb. And then you've got grants, which are maybe on the other end. Are there any sort of projects or aspirations for CRA in the middle, you know, redevelopments or things like that?
So the next big project that we're working on is the Innovation Walk downtown. And this...
Tell me what that is.
Have you not heard about this?
I have not heard about this.
Oh, my
this.
Goodness. I don't know how. So the Innovation Walk is a project that's designed to really showcase human genius. We know that Thomas Edison was here.
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. And all these, the Colusa Indians, all these ways that we...
Ella Piper.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. and so we partnered with the Edison Awards a number of years ago to really honor and showcase innovation, whether it be technology, whether it be how the Colusa found tools that made everyday living possible and easier, whether it be Edison and the light bulb. And so we have hired a firm called Perkins & Will, and they actually will be here in August to do an update and give the community a status as to where the Innovation Walk is, because we are now in the design phase.
Explain, like, I know it's just in the design phase, but, I mean, it sounds like it's literally a walk. Like, where will it be from to, and will there be elements along it that draw attention to these people?
So
I'm curious.
Perkins & Will has been hired to really lay out the Innovation Walk to determine what the best street that it should go along, to determine the types of installations that would fit in these areas that would be interesting. We want it to be something that is awe-inspiring and that will bring people back to Fort Myers. When you have your family and friends come to visit, you have to take them to the Innovation Walk, and they'll want to come back to Fort Myers because of it.
Will it start like at the Edison home? That's what I'm envisioning, is like maybe it starts there and it works its way all the way through town,
so
or something?
It's actually going to start in Centennial Park.
Okay.
And work its way to the Edison home.
Okay.
And we hope to have installation at the Edison home as well. We'll also be engaging private property owners because, you know, there's right-of-way there. There's property that the city does not own that we don't have access to. So this is going to be a real community, all hands on deck project to create this wonderful showcase of innovation.
I feel remiss in not having known anything about it, but now I know, and our listeners will know as well.
And they can get more at theinnovationwalk.com. We have a website for that, as well as McCollumHall.com to be kept abreast of all the happenings as we move along.
As somebody who's been involved with city work and the CRA work for as long as you have, when you drive through town, do you think you sort of look at things a little differently? Because you know, that's maybe going to be this, or that used to be that, you know?
Oh, yes. It is very exciting and inspiring, actually. If you you probably drive by the intersection of Fowler Street and Martin Luther King, and what was there was just a concrete sidewalk. I believe at one time there was a gas station there. We have been able to redevelop that site and created a beautiful gateway that is an entrance to the downtown redevelopment area. And so when I see things like that, I know that we're making a difference. When we look at that sculpture at the intersection of MLK and Veronica Shoemaker Boulevard, something that uplifts the community while it's beautifying also. And so, yes.
Well, and, you know, I have been very happy with all of the murals that have been added to the landscape too, because whether you realize it or not, it brightens a little bit of your day when
Absolutely.
You drive by. If you're stuck at a traffic light and you look over and you see something and you spend time looking at it. So not just public art, but just all these murals that have popped up that just weren't there 20 years ago.
Exactly. And we have worked with the Mural Society to get the walls at McCollum Hall done. This coming year, I hope to finish all the blank walls there. The CRA is not responsible for all the murals in the city, but we've had a fair hand in helping to beautify McCollum Hall with the murals.
So last question with McCollum Hall. Like, what's the next thing that we may be going to hear? What's the next press release we're going to get if things progress as you're hoping?
The next press release would be to get the approval from the Historic Preservation Committee, local and state, so that we can move forward. And then at the same time, get the press release that the funding's been secured. Those are my two main objectives going forward.
Is there any way right now for an individual to help out somehow?
Absolutely. I would wish that they would contact the CRA office. FortMyersCRA.com is our website, and our phone number is 239-321-7100. And yes, we love to have our citizens. We have volunteers that sometimes work with us. And for sure, if this is a project that is near and dear to your heart and you want to be a part of that, please reach out.
All right. Michelle Hilton Terry is Executive Director of the Fort Myers Community Redevelopment Agency, or CRA. Thank you so much for your time, Michelle. It's been nice meeting you.
Same here, Mike. Thank you.
You can find links to information about McCollum Hall and the conceptual plan design proposal on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or the websites that she listed. Our show today was produced by yours truly, with audio production from Gabrielle Jostin and video production from David Akendo. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM. Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM. We are NPR for Southwest Florida.